In the name of Jesus. According to the epistles to the Hebrews and the Old Testament text assigned for this day, which is from Exodus chapter 16, one of the three things that the Lord has arranged to be contained in the Ark of the Covenant, or the Testament, Diatheke, was a pot of manna. The people of Israel said, "What is this? Man hua, ti est in tuto," when they saw a fine scale-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground of the wilderness. They did not know what it was. They have never seen it before. Then Moses said to them, "This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." And a little later in Exodus chapter 16, 31 reports that they call it man, and elsewhere in the Septuagint, manna is used, therefore the name manna. Dr. Luther may have had manna in mind when he wrote his small catechism. Throughout the six chief parts of the catechism, he asks, "What does this mean?" Originally in German, the phrase is, "Was ist das?" The same word appears in the Luther Bibel to this day. This is still an important question. Manna, what is this? Ti est in tuto. Because we are all by nature Schwärmer, the enthusiasts, according to Dr. Luther in his small quote articles. We tend to put our presuppositions, our measurements, our reasons, and our feelings prior to or ahead of the Lord's words, so that we are inclined to subordinate the Lord's words to our preferred way of reading them. Knowingly or unknowingly, we try to impose what is fitting for God. No one is free from his or her own training and experiences. There is no one who does not have his or her own philosophy and principles of life. We are tempted to let such presuppositions and our own philosophy and background take control of the words of the Lord. His words must fit and suit my way of understanding. For example, we would like to interpret how the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews despises what is earthly and speaks highly of what is heavenly according to Platonic philosophy. We must move from lower to higher, that is the progression from what is physical to what is spiritual, or so we think. But such outward movement is also inward movement. Our spiritual life is then separated from what is earthly and physical, which happened to be the way of the Lord. When the external word, externum verbum, is despised, the oral preaching, the very voice of the gospel in holy absolution, the lowliness of water in holy baptism, the humbleness of the bread and wine in the sacrament of the body and blood of our Lord, in favor of our prayers, our activities, and our ideas of how to improve our church, we lose the gospel. John Chrysostom could confess, "The table of the Lord takes the place of a manger, for in it lies the body of the Lord, not indeed wrapped in the swaddling clothes, but clothed with the Holy Spirit." Similarly, when Ecolampadius urged Dr. Luther to think of Christ in heaven, Dr. Luther replied, "I know no Savior apart from the one born by the Virgin, died on the cross, and given out at the altar." We confess that the true manna is our Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, John chapter 6. This bread of life is proclaimed by our Lord through John in Patmos in this way, chapter 2 of Revelation, "I will give them the manna which has been hidden." This is an allusion to the Lord's Supper and a foretaste to the wedding feast of the Lamb, which is in Revelation 19. The people of Israel were given manna to eat in the wilderness until they reached the promised land, and we are given the Lord's body and blood to eat and to drink here on earth until we will see him face to face. Dr. Luther's final lectures on the books of the Bible was the lectures on Genesis. These lectures on Genesis were also his catechesis to the seminary students. He taught that the properly catechized people see the wonderful treasures in the means of grace, but the uncatechized cannot taste and see the goodness of the Lord in his dealing with us in the lowliness of the means of grace. Those people make it a mere work or spiritualize it. This is not an important disagreement and struggle, taught Dr. Luther. He repeatedly taught his students how they are more blessed than Abraham or Jacob, who experienced the appearances of God, directing the students as usual to baptism, the Lord's Supper, the priest's word, and the holy absolution. Dr. Luther said, "You have no reason to complain that you have been visited less than Abraham or Isaac. You too have appearances, and in a way they are stronger, clearer, and more numerous than those they had, provided that you open your eyes and heart and take hold of them." What is more, he comforted his students, saying, "Our Lord does not only say, 'I am with you,' as he promised to the patriarchs, but 'I forgive you your sins.'" Then in this context, he gave a pastoral advice for the future catechists and pastors, teaching the seriousness of the task and instructing to pray, "Lord God, thou hast appointed me in the church as bishop and pastor. Thou seest how unfit and unworthy I am to attend to such a great and difficult office. And if it had not been for thy help, I would long since have ruined everything. Therefore I call upon thee. Of course I want to put my mouth and heart to use. I shall teach the people and myself, learn and shall meditate diligently on thy word. Use me as thy instrument. Only do not forsake me, for if I am alone, I shall easily destroy everything." This is not just a pious prayer for the right understanding of the word. Here, Dr. Luther's prayer is for the help of God in the solemn responsibility of the office, as well as the task of catechesis, to bring people to the shudder-causing gracious reality that the crucified and risen Lord who accomplished our salvation on the cross now invites me, even me, to eat and to drink his body and blood for the forgiveness and life and salvation. The promise at your ordination is that the Lord will never forsake you, but always be with you. Matthew 28. What is this? Manfua. Ti est in tuto, vas istas. This is the bread that the Lord has given to you to eat, so Moses taught the people of Israel. But our Lord, who himself is the true manna, says, "This is my body for you. This is my blood for you." The very body of the Lamb of God, Ebet Yahweh. And the very blood with which he entered once for all into the Holy of Holies for our redemption, are now given to us to eat and to drink with his words. The only unshakable certainty is found not in our presuppositions and principles, but in his words. Then we are given to praise him joyfully. In the words of the hymn writer in Lutheran Worship 126, "Eat we manna from above." May the Lord continue to teach us his means of grace and keep us from every form of tremere. Amen.